If you worship with us regularly, it's always a privilege and a pleasure to spend this time with you. But this, if this is your first time here with us today at Trinity, we are so excited that you chose to be with us in worship today. And we hope that you feel welcome and invited just as you are. I want to take a moment to just point out to you, in your bulletins, there is a Connect card. And if you will take a moment now to tear that out, and if you worship with us every week, or most weeks, you can put your name and your email on that, and that would be very helpful for us. If this is your first time, or you're relatively new, we just invite you to put whatever information you feel comfortable sharing with us this morning. In Lamentations, in chapter 3, that's one of the books of the Old Bible, we read the words that God's love is never-ending, and His mercies are new each and every morning. And if that news seems hard for you to fully embrace this morning, I offer you these encouraging words from Christian author James Finley. He said, "To those who stand at the door reading one more book about how to open the door, yet the longings of your heart remain, let today be the day that you open wide the doors of your heart to the God who for all eternity is open wide to you. May this be a day where you encounter safe sanctuary so that you can open wide the doors of your heart to God's unfailing love and His endless mercies, which have greeted us this morning. And so with that, I say to you, welcome home." Will you take a moment to greet those around you, and please make sure to introduce yourself to someone new.
Good morning. Could you please stand and join us in our opening song? It's called Come Now Fun.
Praise the Lord, you who's the Father. gathered here to worship you in spirit and in truth and experience anew the good news of your Son, Jesus the Christ. So we pray that you be with us in this hour. Change us. Open our hearts and minds to all that you have for us this day. Now let us affirm our faith together using this modern affirmation. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love, as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen. Please be seated.
As we move into a time of prayer this morning, I invite you to use this time of silent prayer to lift up concerns and joys that are on your own heart, those things that you want to offer to God. You know, during the week, we are often so busy going in so many directions that we don't spend enough time in stillness and quiet. So I invite you to embrace this time. I also invite you to look at the screens and lift up in prayer those persons whose names are listed there as you offer your prayers to God. So let's bow our heads together and, again, spend a few moments in prayer and silence, and then I'll lead us in prayer together. Gracious and loving God, we gather here today to worship you. We come together and give you thanks for sunshine and for rain, for labor and for rest, for family and friends, for community and connections and solitude and contentment. Of all the blessings we have received from your hand, most precious is knowing the joy of trusting in you. As we worship you this morning in this sacred space, may we glimpse again your image deep within us. May we catch sight of who you have created us to be and see the strength and beauty of your likeness in each one of us. We also come aware of our own weaknesses, our hiddenness, and the distortions of our lives. So this morning, help us to set aside all pretense and sham, all anxiety and pride, and come to you with hearts wide open, waiting to hear a word from you. We also come to worship mindful of the needs of others. We remember the hungry, the friendless, the homeless, and the hopeless. We pray for all of our brothers and sisters. And particularly right now, we pray for those who have been the victims of natural disasters, of earthquakes in Italy, of flooding in Louisiana, and the hurricanes and storms sweeping up the eastern coast in the last few days. We pray for those who have been forced out of their homes and feel helpless and overwhelmed. We pray for all those in need of healing, who are bound by forces beyond their control. And when we leave this place today, may your wisdom be seen in our decisions. May your peace be captured in our attitudes. And may your life be revealed by the way we live our lives in this world. In the power and in the name of Jesus, we pray as he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. This morning we have the opportunity, as we do each week, to offer to God our tithes and our offerings. Everything that we have, everything that we are, is a gift from God. And we have the privilege of being able to return just a portion of that to God through the ministry and mission of this church. So we invite you now, as the ushers come forward, to bow your heads and to pray with me. Holy God, you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. Every gift comes down from you, creator of heaven and of earth. We ask now that you would use these gifts and multiply them. Multiply them as we seek to be your witness in the world, and as we seek to bring about your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus we pray.
Holy Spirit, continue this morning a series of messages entitled, Who is This Man? Looks into the life of Jesus. We turn to a story in the Gospel of Luke that reminds us of the freedom that God indeed is one who desires to set us free. And hear now these words from the 8th chapter beginning with verse 26. Jesus and his disciples sailed to the Gerasenes land, which is across the lake from Galilee. As soon as Jesus got out of the boat, a certain man met him. The man was from the city and was possessed by demons. For a long time, he had lived among the tombs, naked and homeless. When he saw Jesus, he shrieked and fell down before him. Then he shouted, "What have you to do with me, Jesus? Son of the Most High God, I beg you, don't torture me." He said this because Jesus had already commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had taken possession of him, so he would be bound with leg irons and chains and placed under guard. But he would break his restraints, and the demon would force him into the wilderness. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had entered him. They pleaded with him not to order them to go back into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs. Jesus gave them permission, and the demons left the man and entered the pigs. The herd rushed down the cliff into the lake and drowned. When those who tended the pigs saw what happened, they ran away and told the story in the city and in the countryside. People came to see what had happened. They came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone. He was sitting at Jesus' feet, fully dressed and completely sane. They were filled with awe. Those people who had actually seen what had happened told them how the demon-possessed man had been delivered. Then everyone gathered from the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave their area because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and returned across the lake. The man from whom the demons had gone begged to come along with Jesus as one of his disciples. Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell the story of what God has done for you." So he went throughout the city, proclaiming what Jesus had done for him. This is the word of God for the people of God, and God's people say, "Thanks be to God." We pray with you. Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe life into the words of this servant, that they might carry a word from you into our hearts and lives. Amen. It was my first day on assignment. The week prior, I had gone to my orientation, and now this was the day when I would begin my work as a part of my supervised ministry assignment, first year in seminary, doing a chaplaincy internship at a center that in those days, the late 80s, cared for persons with disabilities. They cared for a broad spectrum, everything from folks who were, for the most part, self-able to handle their needs themselves, to those with severe and profound disabilities, hundreds of them living at this center in the Atlanta area. My primary assignment, was to one of the non-ambulatory units. Residents who were not able to walk at all, most of whom on that particular unit could not speak, and could not feed themselves, could do little at all, in fact, to take care of themselves. So I was eager and also somewhat anxious to discover what I would encounter on my first day. I walked in, And it was a scene like I had never seen before as I looked around that unit at the residents who lived there. And as I began to walk along the row by their beds and chairs, as I rounded one corner, I heard a nurse call out to me and say, "Watch out for Jimmy." Jimmy was a young man who was known to have violent tendencies. He could not walk. His speech was unintelligible. But he packed a mean punch in his right arm. And he was known to lash out and to hit other residents and to also hit the unsuspecting nurse or guest if they got a little too close to Jimmy. He also often yelled out and was disruptive, screaming and causing commotion on the unit. So I heeded the nurse's words and kept an eye on Jimmy anytime I got anywhere near his area of the room. Quite frankly, I was a little bit intimidated and nervous, if you will, about Jimmy's behavior. And so for the first couple of weeks, I kept my distance. And then on about the third week I went for my weekly assignment there, it was the day when we took the residents to the music room, where they could listen to music, and to the extent that they were able, they could play instruments, and they could sing. And at the beginning, Jimmy was his typical, disruptive, disagreeable self. And then the accompanist played a hymn. And I noticed something change in Jimmy's demeanor. For the first time, he softened a little bit. I took note of that. And so the next week, when I went back to the unit, I tried a different approach with Jimmy. And I risked getting a little closer to him that day. Instead of calling out to him by name, as I approached his chair, I began to sing. Amazing, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. So as I continued to sing, I walked over and I sat down beside Jimmy, and I even risked placing a hand on his arm. Jimmy and I sat there together for a few moments while I continued singing. There was a Jimmy deep inside. Scripture lesson for the day tells us about a man like that. Jesus encounters a man who has not been himself for many years. He has been locked up inside, possessed by demons who have taken control of his life and his behavior and his actions. And so Jesus has come to the land of the Gerasenes, where he will encounter this man and his demons. Now, the scripture begins for us by telling us that Jesus traveled, in today's translation, across the lake. The Greek word that is used there is antiperon. Anti, that prefix may sound familiar. It means opposite. So a more literal translation is Jesus travels to an opposite land or an opposing land. Luke might have phrased it this way, as if to say, "Toto, we are not in Galilee anymore. This is a different place." And so Jesus gets out of the boat, and the scripture tells us that this man that he is about to encounter has lived among the tombs for all of these years. That's what demons do. They suck the life right out of us. And you know, this is one of those stories where we have to stop for a moment and allow it to speak to us and to hear it with fresh ears today. Because the language of demons, there's a risk that when we hear that language, we might begin to just dismiss the story as something that is from a time long ago, about a man long ago, and this strange story. Perhaps some are even a little skeptical about the story and about this whole demon possession thing. But friends, what I would want you to remember as we look back through the story today is this: every scripture has the capacity to say something to us today. We just need to be willing to listen and to pay attention. And so I want to invite you to think of the demons in this story, as we hear them today, as those forces or tendencies that keep our real selves from being revealed. The demons are what keep us from being authentic in this life. And if we can think of the demons in that way, then we may be able to hear the story a little differently today. We may even be able to find ourselves in the story. So, here's Jesus out of the boat. And here comes this man, naked and homeless, rushing toward Jesus. But it doesn't take long to realize that this man is out of his mind. There is something not right. And it is really those demons who are rushing to Jesus because they want to get the first word in. That's what demons do. Demons want to speak up first, because by doing so, they keep the real self, the authentic self, hidden in the darkness. You see, demons like to run identity security on our lives. They like to put up a firewall that protects the real us, the us that if we let people get to know it, might risk vulnerability, might risk getting hurt from that kind of thing. So the demons rush to Jesus to run interference. And they want to know exactly what Jesus has in mind. What are you going to do to us? Don't torment us. And Jesus, calm, measured, undaunted by the demon's tirade, simply ask the question, what is your name? Or perhaps the inflection in that question is a little different. You know, it's good as we're reading scripture to think about how something might have been said, not just the words themselves. And Jesus at this moment, knowing that it's not the man's authentic self that's speaking, it's the demons that are speaking, perhaps Jesus said it this way: what is your name? Wanting the demon to be named. You know, if we are going to become authentic in this life, if we are going to get real with others, one of the first steps toward that is being willing to name our demons. I know the names of a couple in my life. I may have a blind spot for others, but I know that I have a couple that go by the names Mr. Perfect and Nice Guy. Now, not that attempting to always do your best and being nice to people are bad things, but when trying to do those, sends you to the point where you do everything you can to possibly keep people from noticing that you have any flaws, and you try to be Mr. Perfect. Or when your desire to be well-liked and to be nice with people means that you're not willing to be honest with people and say the hard things sometimes. Well, then there's a problem. Then it's the demons that are running out front to run identity security. Right? Putting up that firewall. I wonder if Jesus were to come to you today and ask you to name your demons, what would you say? What would you say their names are? Some of them go by names that sound nice enough, but again, it's when we carry them to the extremes and we allow that identity, that name, to get out in front and keep us from being real with them. Maybe some of you can identify with one or more of these names of demons. Mr. Fix-It or Ms. Fix-It. Rescuer. Sage. Powerful. Victim. Carefree. Busy. A lot of folks who let that demon get out of trouble. Lone Ranger, addict, chauvinist, racist, athletic, pretty, popular. Jesus asks for the name. And the answer that comes back is an honest one, albeit an not a specific one. Because the demons all say together, Legion. Because there are many that torment the man. That is the case for some of us today. And then there's this really strange part of the story, right? Where the demons ask for permission to enter those pigs that are on the hillside. You see, the demons want to go somewhere where they can still survive and where they can still do their tormenting. And if Jesus is not going to allow them to stay in the man, then Jesus, send us somewhere where we can still cause havoc. And so they ask to go into the pigs. Jesus gives them permission to go into the pigs. And then promptly, the story tells us that the pigs rush down the hillside and into the water. Now, in ancient times, it was in the waters that chaotic forces were deemed to still be able to have power. And so, maybe the demons thought at that moment that they had it good because they were going into that place of chaos. But we should remember that it's just before this in the Gospel of Luke that Jesus encounters the disciples on the water in the middle of a storm. Remember that story? And he calms chaos. Even in the waters of the deep, nothing will be beyond the power and the authority. So they rush off. Strange part of the story, although there are some key elements there. There's one person who describes this part of the story as the first account that we have in history of deviled ham. Just saying. So what happens next? The swineherd, the ones who are charged with caring for those pigs that are now obliterated, run off into the city and into the countryside to tell others about what they've seen. They cannot believe this. And when the people come back, what they find is Jesus standing there and the man completely opposite from what he was before. Remember early in the story, he is naked and homeless. And now he is fully dressed and completely sane. Jesus has totally changed things. He has set him free from a tormented life. Years of a tormented life. Now, I don't know about you, but at this point in the story, knowing this man's history and what he has just been free from, I'd be ready to throw a party for the guy. Right? I mean, this is fantastic news. But that's not what happens in the story. The first response is awe. Maybe there's some shock there. Maybe there's some amazement. But there we have it. Awe. But then awe quickly gives way to fear. What in the world? Fear? This man has just been set free. And the people are afraid. One theologian puts it this way, as we look at this part of the story, that odd as it may sound, we often prefer the demons we know to the freedom we do not. We'd rather live with the demons that we know, that we can call by name, that we're familiar with, than risk the freedom that we do not know and that will mean being vulnerable enough to be authentic and real. So the people are afraid, because if Jesus had this effect on this man's life, what might he do to them, or what might he ask of them in terms of transformation? And so in fear, they say to Jesus, please go. We really don't want you around here. It is that part of the story that I can't help but think about John Wesley, the founder of our Methodist movement. He knew something about getting run out of town. He made a conscious decision to take the good news of liberation in Christ out to the masses in a time when the Anglican Church was trying to keep it held tightly. Here's an excerpt from his journal. Sunday a.m., May 5th. Preached in St. Anne's. Was asked not to come back anymore. Sunday p.m., same day. Preached at St. John's. Deacon said, get out and stay out. Sunday a.m., May 12th. Preached at St. Jude's. Can't go back there either. This is real stuff. Sunday p.m., May 12th, preached at St. George's, kicked out again. Sunday a.m., May 19th, week after week after week, preached at St. somebody else's. Deacons called a special meeting and said I couldn't return. Sunday p.m., May 19th, preached on the street, kicked off the street. Now this one's my favorite. Sunday a.m., May 26th, preached out in a meadow, chased out of meadow when a bull was turned loose during the service. A month. I mean, who wouldn't give up after a month like that, right? But Wesley keeps on. Sunday a.m. June 2nd, preached out at the edge of town, kicked off the highway. But then later that day, Sunday p.m. June 2nd, afternoon service, preached in pasture. 10,000 people came. Wesley knew there were people who needed to hear the good news, who needed to experience the liberation that only Christ could bring. And so he persisted. Jesus has been asked to leave, the man begs to go with him. Who wouldn't? I mean, after all, after having that kind of an experience, and knowing that his neighbors have just asked this man who healed him to leave, what are they going to say to him? It's no surprise that the man would want to go with Jesus. Start a totally new life in a totally new place where nobody knows him. And Jesus says no. Perhaps you were expecting Jesus to say, well, of course, son, come on. Come and be a disciple with me. Instead, Jesus says, be a disciple right where you are. Be a witness back in your own hometown. Because there are people there who need to hear you. So go and share what God has done for you. And that is exactly what the man wants. There is a power in the witness of those who have been set free that can bring Christ into the lives of others. This morning, bring the message to conclusion, you are going to have an invitation to do something tangible. You don't have to participate in what's about to happen. It is an invitation and an opportunity. As you walked in, perhaps you noticed that there are some large containers of water at the breaks in the room. And around those containers are some small black stones at the base. We all have demons that threaten to keep us from being the authentic, real people that God made us to be. I named a couple of mine for you this morning. I hope during this time of the message you've been able to name one or more of your own. I want to give you an opportunity to tangibly ask Jesus to free you from this. By walking to one of those stations and picking up one of those black stones and dropping it into the abyss of the water, knowing the power that is available to Christ. Again, you don't have to do this. Nobody's watching to see who goes and who doesn't. Maybe you don't feel the need to, or maybe rather than a demon that is tormenting you now, maybe you want to go as a sign of a demon that at some point in the past you have been freed from. And today is just an opportunity to mark that and say thank you again for the freedom that Christ gives. My one hope would be this. Choose not to do it. Just make sure it's not the demon that's telling you to do it. Let's pray. Holy and gracious God, in your goodness, you created us and breathed life into each one. You made us in your image for good. And yet so often we think our real selves are not good enough. And so we allow the demons to speak up for us instead. Through the power of your Son, Jesus Christ, set us free for faithful and authentic living. Band plays, you may come and you may come.
Who has the power today to die?
full deliverance. But we are invited to come and experience God's living grace abiding among us. God's real presence transforming us at His table. And so knowing that we would need more than our own power, but His, Christ took the bread. And He gave thanks to God. And He broke the bread. And He gave it to His disciples. And He said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Given so that you can receive the redemption you crave." And as the supper ended, pour the cup of redemption. He gave it to His disciples. And He said, "Take, drink, all of you. For this is the cup of the new covenant, which is poured out for men for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me, in remembrance of the one who invites you to come as you are, to let go of everything that keeps you from being your authentic self, and to get up from the table, knowing that you are exactly who God created you to be." Would you pray with me? Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and wine. May they be for us body and blood of Jesus Christ. May they work within us to help us shed whatever it is that masks our true self. May they be means of grace that work within us, that allow our demons to be cast out once and for all, so that we may be your people, your holy people, who are your witness. As we proclaim that news, may all come to know your saving power. We pray these things in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you will be helping us serve communion today, I invite you to come to the rail, and we will bring you the bread and the juice. United Methodist Church and here at Trinity, we have an open table, and that means that all are welcome to come and receive the gift of God's grace. You don't have to be a member of this church or any church. You simply need to respond to the prompting of the Holy Spirit within and come and receive all that God has for you. We're going to ask that we start at the beginning and go row by row from the beginning to the end, exiting from the right. And you'll come forward, and we'll tear off a piece of bread, and we'll hand it to you, and you can dip it in the cup. And then you can come, and you can kneel and pray, or you can return to your seat on the left and continue to sing and meditate in the kingdom of the Lord. We do have gluten-free at our stations here and here, so if you need that, please come. But we invite you now for all of us to come and receive. Thank you. us in our closing song, This is Amazing Grace. Shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You've done for me. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
As you go out today, go out with the good news in your hearts of the liberation that Christ brings. And go out to share that good news with others as well. May God make you a witness. One of the ways you can witness today is through the mission boxes, which support something called Peaceful Paths, a ministry that helps persons who have known demons of their own through being victims of domestic violence. So if you'd like to make an offering, you can do that at the boxes as you head out the doors today. But go. Christ has come to set us free. May we live as God created us to be. Amen.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. You've done for